Hello again, this is World Pastor Tony Alamo. This is program number 372. If you'd like a copy of it, Sharon will tell you four different ways you can receive one. Please specify whether you want a CD or an audio tape. It's free, including postage and handling. If you'd like to have more of the tapes or more of my literature, you could request that also. It's also free. If you don't have enough money for a Bible, that's also free. We'll send it to you. Postage and handling taken care of as well. Today, we have some music. We've got a powerful message from the Lord. We've got a rebuttal here, some Bible reading, and a strong message from the Lord. So let's all go to the throne of the Lord and ask God to you. The Lord Jesus Christ, to anoint this service. Father, we thank and praise your holy name because you are a God that hears and answers. And we know that we have the commonwealth of the kingdom of heaven because that involves our being saved and being able to go to the kingdom of heaven. And you live in the midst of the kingdom of heaven, and you have made those of us who believe in you the kingdom, a kingdom of kings and priests. And you are in the midst, just like you are in the midst of the flying saucers, just as you are in the midst of us here on this earth and the seven candlesticks in the book of Revelation. So Lord, we ask that you pour out your spirit and anoint this service, that souls will be saved of the lost, and that the church will be powerfully strengthened. I mean, your church, the church that you live in the midst of. For there are so many people today, Lord, that are saying that they are the church of the Lord, and they are the synagogue of Satan. You said that you will curse those who say they are Jews and are not. In other words, Christians and are not. We all have to become spiritual Jews in order to get into the kingdom of heaven. So you'll curse them that say they are Jews and do lie. And you know that they are the synagogue of Satan, these people that say they're Jews. There's two kind of people, Lord. That's Jews and those that want to be Jews, especially at the judgment bar of God, when you send everyone that is not a completed or a spiritual Jew, when you send them into hell. They have to kneel before you, the world's greatest Jew, most powerful Jew. And they have to kneel before you and ask you to come into their hearts, or they will never enter the kingdom of heaven. And so many people are shocked with this message that it's just unbelievable. We're going to read a negative letter that's been sent to us, I believe by email, of a person that says they're a Christian, says that they're a Jew, but he's not a Christian, or she, whoever it is. They are just standing on the Freedom of Speech Act, which I also stand on too. They can say anything they want, but I can surely answer them back. And with your word, Father, what it was is they were upset because I said so many people today believe that Jesus is sweet Jesus, and so I'm going to be reading some scriptures today they show you that God is a God also of wrath. And when the Lord starts pouring out his wrath on these people, they will no longer believe that he's just sweet Jesus, or that he's some kind of a homosexual. These people don't know you, Father, like I do. And I pray that you will, by the reading of the word and by the exhortation that you give me, by your spirit being poured out upon me, that people will begin realizing who you really are, because you are not at all just little sweet Jesus standing in the corner twiddling your thumbs, but that you threatened me in order for me to get saved. You threatened Ezekiel. You threatened this entire world. As a matter of fact, if you're so sweet, then why did you drown the whole world at one time, pour out your wrath upon Sodom and Gomorrah for them being homosexuals and carnal and lesbians? And why do you promise to pour out your this great fire on this world soon to burn it to a crisp because of the ignorance and the hatred towards you and your word? You are the word. and people in this world hate it. And therefore, Lord, you said that you hate them. Esau have you hated, but Jacob have you loved. You love, you hate, you make alive, and you kill, and you're going to pour out your wrath on this earth, and already you're starting with it. And I want everybody to know that so that they'll beware of what kind of God you really are. You don't want this false description of who you are, like a little sweet Jesus or the Catholics, where they still had you nailed to the cross. You came down off of that cross and you rose from the dead and you ascended into heaven, and you're the Almighty God. You were dead, but now you're alive and alive forevermore. Lord, we ask that you let everyone receive this so that they can be saved and the church strengthened in Jesus' name. And everyone says, Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Praise the Lord. All right. Here's a good friend of mine, Gary S. Paxton, to sing for you just a closer walk with the true Jesus, with thee, not this false Jesus that the supposed to be churches are making up, especially the Vatican. Okay, Gary, go ahead.
Be
Praise the Lord. We have a couple of testimonies here. Where's the first one from?
From Nashville, Tennessee.
Okay.
Douglas from Nashville, Tennessee called the witnessing line saying that he couldn't pick your program up on the regular radio, so he went out and bought a shortwave radio to be able to hear you preach.
Okay, we are on AM and FM radio on some stations, and we are also on shortwave, all over the world, shortwave. And there are powers in this world, powers of darkness, that do everything they can to scramble my program. And so that's why I offer a copy of either the CD or an audio tape at the end of each program. So if you can't pick it up, you can certainly get a copy of it. And also you can pass it out to your friends, or you can order extra ones for your friends or your enemies. And then what?
He said his dad is a pastor and his family is into a false prosperity message that the Lord showed him was false.
Right, the prosperity that the Lord is talking about is not cars and big houses and things like that, although some people God does give these things to, but he gives them only to people that are going to use finances, prosperity, to that kind of prosperity, to put the gospel out like we do. And there's some of them that put out a little bit of gospel and keep a whole lot of money for themselves. They build these big castles with big walls around them because they know that there's a wicked one on earth, and they know that they're not protected by the Lord. But those who keep the commandments of the Lord in every respect are the ones that have God's protection and God's healing and everything. People that don't pay any attention to all the commandments of the Lord wants us, in other words, the whole word of God has to be obeyed. And people say, well, that's too hard for us to do because we're weak. Yes, but God is strong, and God wants to for you to contain him. The Spirit of God made us human beings. He formed us out of the dust of the earth, and then he blew his breath into us and made us a living soul, which there's a spirit in there. The spirit is the utmost, the very utmost part of our being. God is triune and we are tripart. And so God put the spirit in us to contact him. And he also wants that part of our tripart being to contain him. He wants us to contain him. We are to be containers of the Lord. And that's why so many religions and so many churches are wrong, because they really don't believe that. The most exciting, most important thing in the world is that God, we contain God. In other words, God lives in us and we live in him. This is a covenant that he made with us, that he in these last days would live in us and we would live in him. We are the temple of God. We contain God if we're born again of the Spirit, if we're true Christians. And if we're true Christians, we don't make Jesus into somebody that he's not. God, it's a very sweet thing for us to be able to contact the Lord and for him to contact us. But there's so many people that don't contain God, and they don't allow God to live in their spirit because they really hate his word. And they try to make the Christians, the true Christians that contain God and those that contact God, they try to make them look like a cult. And the reason they do that is because they hate the word of God. And they want you, those of you that are out there that are ignorant of what God really is, because you never opened the Bible, you never studied the Bible, you don't know that God drowned the whole world. That isn't what most people would call sweet Jesus. And that he poured out his wrath upon Sodom and Gomorrah. As a matter of fact, so to speak, he barbecued them, because he hated the sins that they were committing and that they would not repent. He loves, but also he hates. He says people, he gives them outward discipline And if they don't adhere to that, well, then he just kills them. God brags that I make alive and I kill. Now, there's a time to make alive and there's a time to kill. There's a time to be a person that is unsaved, and there's a time for you to repent and be saved because you don't know the Word of God. And these false people, these false Christians, and the coupled with the influence from the Vatican, which is actually Satan's seat. The Bible says that Satan's seat is in the city of the seven mountains, and that's Rome, and that's the Vatican. And that this, he calls this Vatican the great whore, the mother of every abomination on the face of the earth. But then he goes on to say that this whorish, most sinful cult in the world, this political organization that all the presidents visit because they're political and they want to make sure that they have the political power of the Vatican. And so they rule the government the way the Vatican tells them to if they want to keep their political power. If they don't do exactly what the Vatican says, well, then they kill them just like they did Kennedy. And people that come against the Vatican are this one world Antichrist church that also has the mouth. The Bible says that Satan would be given the mouth. The Antichrist machine, which is the devil, the cult in Rome, the seven mountains, the government, and the media is the Satan's mouth. And so they can say anything they want because of the freedom of speech. And I agree, there should be the freedom of speech. So therefore, but they don't like me having the freedom of speech to preach the Bible the way it is because they hate the Bible, because the Bible is spiritual and they're carnal and they are political. And so that's why you see all the visitors going over there, these presidents and kings and queens, because they don't want to be killed. They don't want the Vatican with the world government and the world, the armed forces, the United Armed Forces, which are our people, our boys and girls that are going over there fighting to bring about a one world government for the Vatican. Now, they say that then they get into, like, for instance, Raymond A. Donovan brought the Moonies into this country. And the reason that they did it is they wanted to start coupling people like real churches in with the Moonies, throwing them in with them. Yeah, they don't like churches at all. This is why they killed everybody over at that Jim Jones place. Now, I didn't know him, never met him, don't even know anything that he preached. I heard that he was a Catholic priest, but he was not doing what they told him to do, and so they went over there and killed him. And they killed all those people over there. Jim Jones had a bullet hole in the back of his head. And the people that escaped into the woods went from one church to another, including ours, and told us that it was the United States government and also the Guyana police that went in there and killed all those people. And then the news media, Satan's mouth, began saying that it was that they took poison Kool-Aid. And I knew that was wrong. And then when those people came, because you can't talk even one person into taking poison, committing suicide. If they want to live, and they moved out there so because he said that they were going to have peace out there. They want peace. They don't want to die. No Christian would want to commit suicide because a Christian knows that in the event that they commit suicide, that their souls are going to go right straight into hell. Well, my son did this, you might say. Well, you know, what do you want me to do, change the Word of God for you? Any murderer, if you even murder yourself because God wants you to be his container, what you're doing is robbing God of a container for him to live in. And you're causing, like for instance, the body of Christ happens to be a corporation of many souls that are made up into many different segments of his church. There are some segments in Africa, and some in India, and some in the Philippines, some here in the United States. They're usually not huge churches, because churches only become huge when you start lying to them. A huge church, more than likely, is there because they say Jesus is all love, and Jesus is all sweet, and Jesus does not judge. All of God's ways are judgment, the Bible said. Mm-hmm. We have to go by the Word of God, because the Word of God is God. And the Word of God in the beginning was the Word. And the Word was with God. And the Word was God. And then it says later in the first chapter of John that the Word, in other words, God, became flesh and lived among us. And the reason that the Lord did that was because he wanted for us to communicate with him, to understand God. And God the Son made it possible for us to understand him, because he brought forth the Word into this world and stated that we don't live by bread alone or by food for our natural health or in being, but we live by every word, which is the Spirit, and which is our life, but every word that proceeds from the mouth of the living God. So what they did is they killed, the government killed all those, the Catholic, communist, fascist government, and this Antichrist government, killed those people over there, just like they admitted that they killed all the people at Waco, the church over there. And so it goes to show, this is a continuation of the Vatican's evil deeds. They've murdered Christians because they hate them, because the Spirit of God lives in them. They've been killing Christians for centuries. Catholics are the farthest thing, the exact opposite of Christians, and yet they have the unmitigated goal to call themselves Christians. And they do everything in their power to make people that are standing on the true Word of God, and we tell them that God is going to pour out his wrath on this earth, just like he did during the time of Noah and the time of Sodom and Gomorrah, and the time going back even further when Adam and Eve sinned. He kicked them out of the garden. A sweet Jesus kicked them out of the Garden of Eden. Amen?
Amen.
And then sweet Jesus made them live in a cursed world, because the Lord cursed the world because of their sin. And then the second time he cursed it was when he drowned the entire earth, with the exception of Noah, his wife, his three sons, and their wives. And then, of course, he poured out his wrath on the cities of the plain out there in the Middle East, where he barbecued the place, Sodom and Gomorrah, because of their illicit, unlawful, illegal sexual activities. You say, well, you're preaching legalism. Yes, I don't preach illegalism like the Vatican does, this one world government that it controls, and the media. They're illegal. And so they're trying to say, Tony Alamo, you wear shades, sunglasses, just like Jim Jones did. Well, as far as I know, Jim Jones didn't have glaucoma. You wouldn't want to look into my eyes, because they don't look too hot. And so I wear shades. And the too much light hurts my eyes, and so I wear them because I don't want to let people control my life. They have the right to say that I wear sunglasses like Jim Jones. Then they say that I was a person that I've been put in prison for tax evasion. I was put in there for that, but I never committed that sin at all. They said I hid the books, records, and receipts. The actual truth of that is that the prosecutor hid my books, records, and receipts. We turned everything over to them, and we proved it, and so we went to Judge McCalla, the one that sentenced me to 6 years. He was the judge that was presiding over the trial in Memphis, Tennessee, and he would not reverse his decision and would not give me any recognition that it was the government, the Catholic Vatican government, that hid these books and receipts. And then before that, to send me to prison, they hired false witnesses against me. They paid, I don't know, they let my ex-wife, I dropped her, divorced her because she would not serve the Lord. I prayed her through. She received the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And then all of a sudden, after 6 or 8 months, she decided that she wanted to go out to nightclubs and go out with the movie stars and everything that she knew and I knew, and I wouldn't do it. I had to go to church every night, and she wouldn't, and she wanted to end it, and so did I. So she was the princess of Sweden, Birgitta Gyllenhammar, spelled Gyllenhammar. She's the also heiress of Volvo Automobile Company and Truck Company. The family's billionaires, and she's the black sheep of the family. She is also wants to have, she let it be known, you know, that she's had many affairs, and I couldn't be united with her because she wanted to continue on doing that. And I cannot and I will not, and I did not. Okay, so that was the end of that. So they asked her, they said that they were going to take her house away from her, the house that was owned by Les Brown, the Band of Renown. They said they were going to take that away from her unless she testified falsely against me, and that they were going to take her two dress shops. She was a dress designer for people like Sasha Gabor and Francesca Hilton, her daughter, and the Pointer Sisters, and all kinds of people like that. And so, unless she testified falsely against me. Now, her house is up for sale for $3 million. And her dress shops are over with because they, even after she lied, she said I was giving her $40,000 a month on the witness stand. I asked my attorney to ask her if she ever paid taxes for that. I never gave her $400 a month. Not even $4 a month. Why should I give money to her? She's a billionaire. I never gave any. We didn't even have $40,000 a month at that time coming into the church. They also told a man that they let him out of prison. What was his name?
Barry Haynes.
He was in a prison in Alaska, and if he would testify against me falsely, he could get out of prison. So he did. And there's a long list of people that they had lie about me. And then they hid our books, records, and receipts to prove my innocence. And we can prove my innocence, but yet the world government, run by the Vatican, Satan's seat, where Satan sits. And also, that's why they were hiring people to kill me, because I'm pulling the lid off of that bunch of worms, that bunch of demonic people. And so I know what this man is talking about in his testimonial here, how the churches have gone astray. They've sold out here in the very last hours of time, and God is not going to excuse them for that. And so they said that this man, I'm going to have you have the sister here read this other testimony that came in, this really negative thing, where he said that I am so wrong for saying that Jesus is not sweet Jesus all the time. No, he cursed the earth again. He's cursed it once, he's cursed it twice, and he's cursed people down through the years that know the truth and they won't keep it, and he's going to destroy this earth with fire and send a lot of people into a burning hell in a lake of fire, and they're going to be screaming their heads off forever and ever. And so really listen to this program, because it's for your soul. I'm already saved. It's not for my soul. I have to do what I do. I have to preach the truth, or else I'd wind up in hell just like you will if you don't receive the Lord. Okay, let's continue with this man's testimony.
He said because of his religious upbringing, he rebelled against it and went searching for the truth. That took him into drugs.
Yeah, well, in searching for the truth, you don't find the truth in drugs or sexual activity or anything. So this man, you know, did the wrong thing. Go ahead.
It took him into drugs, alcohol, and all manner of other religions that finally brought him to suicide. He said...
So see, religions bring people to suicide, but born-again Christians tell you if you commit suicide, you'll go to hell. So if you think this is a bad place to live, you will be in hell in the lake of fire, and there isn't anything to compare to the misery and the anguish and the pain, and there's no escape from it. There's no painkillers. There's no exit doors. You're there. You're sealed in forever. Then what?
He said he hung himself and was almost dead when the double knot untied and he dropped to the ground. As he lay there before he was found, the Lord supernaturally spoke to him and told him the fullness of the truth of the gospel. He said he has been blackballed by his family and friends.
Well, yeah, because they're more than like Catholics or people that have united themselves with Catholics. Then what? Now, I'm not against Catholics. You know, I'm for them 100%, but I'm against their deeds. They're the Nicolaitans, and the Lord hates their deeds, and I do too. And anyone that's really of the Lord hates the things that that ungodly, murderous, adulterous, antichrist cult believes in. Then what?
He will not be part of his family church because they preach a false Christ. He said the Lord had been dealing with him about discipleship.
Yeah, they preach a false Christ. Sweet Jesus. Sweet Jesus. Oh, everything's just fine. Do anything you want and Jesus is just going to be sweet to you. That is false. Okay, it's a dirty lie right out of the pit of hell. Then what?
He was at work at the Greyhound bus station. He said he saw the people from this ministry.
From the Alamo ministry.
Distributing gospel literature and witnessing to people. He said he was watching them and the Lord kept telling him to go see what they are doing. Go talk to them. He said he went and spoke with a couple of them, John Falaz and another brother, and he was so encouraged to hear about the ministry. He said they gave him a Messiah book and one of your audio messages on CD. He said it was so eye-opening and it was phenomenal. He wants to be a distributor and a church in his area. He wants literature, Messiah books, Bibles, and audio messages on tape and CD for new converts. He is very thankful for what this ministry is doing.
So I would really be thankful to him or anyone in the Nashville area that would show us where we can get a large house or a series of small houses, bungalows or something, to where we could move back into Nashville. The government took our church and sold it for pennies on the dollar, which actually was on Music Row. They took the church's business, which was the Alamo of Nashville on Broadway, which was the number one clothing store, incidentally, in the world. We've done clothing for so many superstars, including the Beatles and the Elvis people, Elvis Presley, and you know, all kinds of artists like Dolly Parton, Hulk Hogan, Tyson, Mike Tyson, Don King. You know, I could just list the name U2, all the rock and roll groups like Cinderella and Chicago, doing clothes for them, and they took that and sold it. And I just gave a statement to the Tennessean that where are the people in Nashville going to get any groovy threads anymore? And a lot of the people, you know, Bruce Springsteen used to fly in there with his crude buy clothes there, and he was really upset when he found out that the Vatican had taken our property and sold it for pennies on the dollar. And now it belongs to some Presbyterian, United Presbyterian Church that are united with the Vatican. When they're united with the Vatican, they don't get any persecution. That's how you can tell that a church is of the Lord. It's when they receive persecution. Okay, what's the next testimony?
From Ghana, Africa.
Okay.
Dear Pastor, may the grace of God and the sweet fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you now and forevermore. Amen. Hearty greetings in the Savior's mighty name, and may God richly bless you for the good work you are doing on this planet Earth. Pastor, it's me, Silas, once again, writing to show my appreciation for the Bibles, booklets, and newsletters that you sent to me. I am forever grateful, and may God richly bless you. In fact, the newsletters are transforming a lot of lives in my area. And on behalf of my congregation, I would like to say a big thank you. Your teachings are winning a lot of souls day in and day out, and so we go through them quickly. Pastor, through these messages, I have also been able to set up a children's group to win the little ones to Christ. And please, I need sponsorship to maintain it.
Well, the sponsorship, what he's going to talk about is finances. So we're only able to do what we're doing now, to get literature, to pay for the radio broadcast, to send witnesses out onto the streets, to print the literature, which, you know, people will say it's very costly print, literature, because it's in color, four color, and it's made with very good paper. It's for the Lord, and we don't want to give second best to the Lord. We want to give him the number one best. And so any of you people out there that would like to sponsor a program like this, send in finances, or at least ask us for the address of this person, if you're of the Lord, and you really want the Spirit of the Lord to continue on, and you don't want the spirit of Satan to progress. We're called here to pull down every stronghold of Satan, all right? And so you can't just be silent. If you're silent, you're against him. If you're not with the Lord, that means he said you have to fight, then you're against him. If you don't fight off the devil with the temptations that he brings to you, and if you don't persevere, if you're afraid of persecution because you don't, that's why you don't tithe, well, then you're going to be counted as one of the fearful and unbelieving, and the fearful and unbelieving shall spend eternity in the lake of fire. All right, so continue on.
As of now, they are under shades, and we are now setting up a structure for them, so we will be glad if you can assist us financially.
Well, I can't. We're just, you know, all we can do is what we're doing right now. If more finances comes in, we'll be able to assist you. I'll pray about it, if it's of the Lord. Nobody assisted Sue and myself. God promoted us, and we went to work. All of us still to this day work. And I pay taxes, and the people in the church pay taxes. And we go to work with our hands, and you know, you should teach your congregations, if you don't work, you shouldn't eat. And then go ahead.
Pastor, I take this opportunity to request 20 Bibles, some T-shirts, and some more copies of your literature.
Okay, that we can do. That's what we're able to do. And then what else?
Including Antichrist Unmasked and Our Lord's Favorite Thing. Dear Pastor, I need your prayers and encouragement to be able to withstand the tasks ahead of me. I also want to request prayers for the congregation.
Well, in order to withstand Satan, we need to contain God. We need for God to be in us as his container. And we have to be in him. Because when we're in him and he is in us, then we're part of the big flying saucer. We must have Christ in our midst. He has made us an actual nation. A nation, in other words, we happen to be the kingdom of heaven, and he is in the midst of the kingdom of heaven. He's the tree of life that's in the midst of the kingdom of God. And he is the wheel within the wheel. We Christians who keep all the commandments, because we have the power of God in us to be able to do that, he lives in the midst. And in the book of Revelation, it talks of him, Jesus, walking in the midst of the seven candlesticks. He's always in the midst of his people. And so if you have Christ in the midst of you, which is the Holy Spirit, the whole fullness of the Godhead, you'd be able to go through persecution, character assassination, degradation. You'll be able to go through all sorts of persecutions, trials, and tribulations. You'll be able to go through sorrow, and you'll be able to go through all these things if you're really keeping the commandments of the Lord. Depressions, oppressions, all this, is the Holy Spirit is very powerful. The Holy Spirit holds up the entire universe, and if he's living in you, you're powerful. Your flesh is weak, and that's why we have to keep a continuous stream of the Holy Spirit going through us. The Word of God is the Holy Spirit. And remember, the Word In the beginning was the Word. The beginning of all things. The Word is what created everything. And so in the beginning was only the Word. There was nothing else there. And the Word was with God. As a matter of fact, the Word was God. And then he became flesh so that we, after he went through the process of human life, God went through an entire process here on this earth of human life so that he eventually, after dying on the cross, he lived in a man named Jesus Christ who kept all the commands because of the powerful Spirit of God that was in him. And he was begotten by the Holy Spirit. And we can be begotten by the Holy Spirit as well when we invite him into us, and the whole triune God enters us, Jesus with his Father by the Spirit. And when that happens, then we contain God. That's why he made us in his image and likeness, is because he wanted us to be like a glove that he fits into. Okay? And so when he's in us, then all the power of God is in us if we utilize it. Now, you can't just stand still. We're not able to just stand still and not do what he says and expect the Holy Spirit to do anything. It's our obedience to what the Holy Spirit is telling us to do, what the Word of God, His Spirit and life, tells us to do. And that's how we become overcomers of all things. And also you pray because the Lord wants us to contain him in our spirit. And it's the spirit, our spirit, that contacts God, and his spirit that contacts us, and that he abides in us. He lives in us, and we are to contain him, and he will contain us, which makes he's like the center of our life, the center of the flying saucer, and we are the saucer with him in the center. We are the golden candlesticks with him in our center, and he made us a kingdom, and he lives, the tree of life, which is Jesus, symbolic of Jesus, lives in the midst of the kingdom of God, and we are that kingdom. Okay, so go ahead.
And please pray for the newly set up children's group.
Yeah, you pray. We pray, but we also work. And the Bible says if you don't work, you don't eat. Now, the Bible tells us that that there's children in this world that are stubborn. And now the children, it's never been like this before since I've been alive, and it's about 72 years. Where children are going around killing each other and killing their parents. And the Bible says that this is one of the signs of the end of time. So these are stubborn children. And you know, this is not children raised by doctors. These are people that are raised by Dr. Spock, who is totally anti-Christ. And that's why his books became so popular, because they say, don't discipline children. Just let them do whatever they want. They want to kill somebody? Go ahead. They want to go on drugs? Go ahead. They want to beat up their parents? Let them. They want to use profane language to their parents and to people around? Let them. This is children's stubbornness and their rebellion to the feeling and the will of the Father, the Son, Lord Jesus, and the Holy Spirit. Christian fathers are absolutely concerned about the will of the Holy Spirit, the Holy Father, the Holy Son. But chastenings are never pleasant to a dad that really loves their children. But the Bible says if we don't chasten them, that we hate our children. We don't care if they get rebellious and stubborn. We don't care if they go to hell. But if you love them, the Bible says that you'll discipline them many times. Okay, and either you're going to listen to the Antichrist that tells you the exact opposite, like Dr. Spock, who was a Vaticanite, or you're going to listen to God. It's the same thing with God. God has prepared for his children, those that are born again of the Holy Spirit, where he abides or lives in them, or that his children contain him, in the New Testament. It's always positive. But due to the people's obstinacy or their stubbornness and their lawlessness. Don't you know that we're living in a lawless government? Mm-hmm. It's all right to murder. It's all right to maim. It's okay to beat your parents up. Or you do something. If you're a Christian, they'll throw the book at you. But if you're, you kill somebody, like down the television right now, there's a woman that shot her husband in the back while he was sleeping. And then her defense now is that he abused me. Oh, he did he? Why? Did you commit a fornication or adultery? I mean, adultery on him? And if he was so bad, why didn't you just pack up and leave? In other words, it's supposed to be of the law that if your husband is abusive to you, or you say he is even, and everybody knows she's lying, that you can take a double-barrel shotgun and shoot him in the back. And he looked around and said, why? Why did you kill me? She has to live with that. You're not to do that. I mean, that's murder. Get out of the house. If somebody was abusing me, I'd get out. That's the thing to do. But that isn't what she wanted. She wanted to kill him. So stubbornness, lawlessness, and the disobedience. This is what God is fed up with. He's forced to discipline people like that. And the government says, the Bible says if somebody murders somebody, just plans to murder them, that they need to be put to death. Even people that commit adultery are to be put to death. Not just slapped around, but put to death, the Bible says. But fortunately for women and men in these last days, that God says vengeance is his, but he demands that we have a government. The government of God says, oh, if they murder somebody, not by false prosecutors that falsely claim that people murder people and send them to death for something that they're innocent of. A lot of these people, these prosecutors, want to become judges. So they just think the more prosecutions that they make, even if they're false, that they'll get to be judged. These are evil, wicked people. Even the anti-Christ government feels that they are justified in disciplining people. Well, what do you mean? Well, if the anti-Christ government, if you try to stop people from aborting children, they'll put you in jail. They'll put you in there for keeps, all right? So the Antichrist government has their own laws, their own discipline of people. They don't, the thing is, they don't join the United Nations about that. So what do they do to discipline them outwardly? They bomb them. That's what the United Nations does. That's what the world government does. And they murder them, people that continue wanting to be Christians. Well, what they do is they murder them, like over at Waco. Now we're going to read this letter, a really negative letter to our ministry right here, because I just want to keep everything out in the open. Okay, hurry up.
Will Tony Lamo Ministries be the next Jim Jones Guyana tragedy?
Well, I pray not. But if we are, it'll be the government coming over here and killing us. Now, we already know from John Peeler that the government hired him to assassinate me, and he said that the government has paid many other people to assassinate me. If I'm becoming murdered like the people at Waco, it's the government that did it, and even Clinton stated that I take full responsibility for this, and his homosexual or lesbian attorney general says, I take full responsibility about murdering Christians. And Clinton said, he's now a Catholic, you don't see him sitting in Baptist churches anymore saying he's a Baptist, he's a full-fledged Catholic and always was. He says, and there's many other cults here in Arkansas. Now, the only one that's calling us a cult is the Vatican and people that believe the Antichrist. If you believe the Antichrist, you're going to hell with them. Then what?
This article is based on the Freedom of Speech Act here in the USA.
Yeah, well, that's right. You have the right to lie, because even the Supreme Court says you can lie, as they did about Jerry Falwell, saying that he raped his grandmother in an outhouse, and then later he said, yeah, I lied. And then the government said, that's okay. It's okay to lie. It's okay to lie about him and Tony Alamo. It's good to say they're cults. And people believe it. That's what their main goal is. And then what?
I recently received one of Tony Alamo's four-color process newsletters on the windshield of my car. Because I am a retired printer, I knew the expense of this 12-page color process newsletter.
So that goes to show how intelligent this man is, because he was a printer. We print our own literature. Okay, we have our own presses. Then what else?
That this could not be a local ministry, they could not afford such expensive printing, was my first impression.
Well, God wants my message out, and so he makes it to where we can afford to do that. Mm-hmm. Okay, Bunky? Okay, then what?
After I read the front page of this newsletter, volume 6200, called Brace Yourselves, I was even more shocked. Tony Alamo wrote, and I quote, "Then, to the woe and dismay of everyone in the world, Jesus, who is commonly and falsely today known as Sweet Jesus, will abruptly, without any notice, turn the world upside down in a moment and literally tear it to pieces."
Yeah, he says, "Behold, I come quickly." And he said, "If you don't do what I tell you, I'm going to destroy you."
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so that is the actual Bible. This really shocks this guy, because he'd never read the Bible and never cared to hear what the Bible really says, and he's very offended at the Word of God, and therefore God's offended at you. Then what?
I personally believe in freedom of speech.
I do too, my friend. But I don't believe that you're going to get by with your lies, because the Bible says that no liar shall enter the kingdom of heaven. Then what?
But this is getting a little out of hand.
It's not out of hand. It's preaching the Word of God. That offends you, doesn't it? Then what?
Especially if this is what this Christian minister, who has also been labeled a cult leader...
I've been labeled a cult leader, and so have every other person that the Vatican has murdered. They have they paint people that they're cults. Why are you not against the Vatican, who has murdered and continues murdering hundreds of millions of people, including the Christians at Waco and those, I don't know who they were over in Vienna, the Jim Jones, but they were, they didn't kill themselves. It was the government, the Vatican government, that did that, and the Guyana government, which is also connected with the Vatican. Then what?
Especially if this is what a Christian minister is trying to communicate.
I'm not trying to communicate it, kid. I'm communicating it. I'm not trying. I'm doing it. Then what?
To individuals around the world using shortwave radio.
I use not only shortwave radio, but I use AM and FM radio. Okay, then what?
Individuals whom are in lack of education, money, poor health, and government funding. However, I do give him credit in his newsletter, the fact that there is never any mention of donations or money.
No, because we finance our ministry. And people that want to give, I let the Holy Spirit lead them to do that. Otherwise, if they don't feel led to give to us, I'm not going to try to coax them or offer them any gift or any tax-exempt status, because if you want to be blessed by the IRS, you'll get just the same as you gave. But if you trust God, he'll give you 100 times more. So it all depends on your faith. Okay, then what?
Just locations where he can be reached and listened to all around the world. The Christian minister Jim Jones, also known as a cult leader, fled the country of USA because of...
I don't know about it. This is the first time I've ever heard that he fled because of IRS problems. If he did, I never fled the country because of IRS problems. I was railroaded, and the government knows it. Okay, and I see my time is up right now, and we're going to continue with this tomorrow. And right now, if you'd like to be a container for God to live in, if you'd like to know the truth, you're really able to understand it when you accept the Lord Jesus Christ into your heart. And here's how you do it. Just say this prayer to him and mean it with your heart and soul and mind. Say, "My Lord and my God, have mercy upon my soul, a sinner. I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of the living God, and I believe he died on the cross and shed his precious blood for the forgiveness of all my filthy sins. And I believe that God raised Jesus from the dead by the power of the Holy Spirit. I open the door of my heart, and I invite you into my heart, Lord Jesus. Wash all my filthy former sins away in the precious blood that you shed for me. You will not turn me away, Lord Jesus. You will save my soul. I know, because your word says so. Your word says you'll turn no one away, and that includes me. Therefore, I know that you have heard me, and I know you've answered me, and I know that I'm saved. And I thank you, Lord Jesus, for saving my soul." Just raise your hands and praise and thank the Lord. Now, and also get baptized in fully submerged in water in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and get baptized with the Holy Spirit because you'll have power when you do. All right, and here's Sharon to tell you four different ways that you can receive a copy of program number 372.
Go to alamoministries.com or write to Tony Alamo Christian Ministries, P.O. Box 6467, Texarkana, Texas, 75505, or call area code 479-782-7370 or fax area code 479-782-7406.
All right, this is World Pastor Tony Alamo saying God bless you. Make sure to tune in tomorrow for another powerful message. Here I am with J.D. Sumner and the Stamps Quartet singing I, John, in other words, John the Revelator, I, John, saw a mighty vision, and you'll read about it in the book of Revelations.
Well, and I, John, saw a mighty number way up in the middle of the air. Well, I, John, saw a mighty number moving way up in the middle of the air. Well, I just saw a mighty number moving well in the middle of the air. I just saw a mighty number moving way in the middle of the air. Well, there were three gates in the east. Three gates in the west. Three gates in the north. Three gates in the south. And 12 gates to the city, 4 square wide. Hallelujah. Mighty new will I chant a mighty number. Well, in the middle of the year, will I chant a mighty number. Yeah. Oh, John declared he saw a man who had 12 stars in his right hand. Well, his eyes flashed by like the burning sun. Oh, John was scared and he wanted to run. Well, he wanted to run, but his feet wouldn't go. Well, he felt the gospel coming like a two-edged sword. Well, he heard a voice that said, John, take a look. What you see then right above. He saw 12 angels in the east. 12 angels in the west. 12 angels in the north. 12 angels in the south. 48 angels to the city. 4 square wide. Hallelujah. God, the mighty God. The mighty God.